Amen. You may be seated in the name of the Lord. Faith without limits. If I can draw your attention to verse 27, I just finished reading, and I know it's a lengthy text. And in verse 27, it says, Jesus, when she heard about Jesus, the woman with the issue of blood, when she heard about Jesus, came up behind him in the crowd, touched his clothes, because she thought to herself, if I just touch him, I'll be healed. Immediately her bleeding stopped. She felt in her body that she was free from her suffering. Jesus said, who touched me? In verse 34, it says that Jesus said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace, free from your suffering. Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace, free from your suffering. One of the occurrences that happened here in North Carolina, I know that everyone is watching from North Carolina, for people around the world, God bless you. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Excited that you're streaming. But for those of us who live here in North Carolina, one of the things that's an interesting occurrence here in North Carolina is these Canadian geese that decide to walk across the streets. I don't know if you've ever seen any of them. I want you to know I don't slow down for them at all. As a matter of fact, if you ever see a dead Canadian geese, chances are it was me who killed them, because why are you walking when you can fly? Makes absolutely no sense to me. The roads belong to people who cannot get in the air. It's not my fault you decided to give your wings a rest. I don't know what's going on with you, but it would seem to me that if you can get across the road in the air, then you would get them web feet up off the ground. My point to you is, the last time I was bearing down on some of them geese and about to send them to the geese Jesus that died for their geese sins, the Holy Ghost said to me, and why are you walking when you could be flying? It made me think to myself, God, when it comes to this faith thing, as amazing as this story is, what's scary about it in verse 34 is for Jesus to say, go in peace, your faith has healed you. I begin to realize that with all that's happened today and us gathering, and even this weekend that we had, talking real love or whatever services that you go to, and me speaking 200 times or however many times I preach in a year, I'm honored to do it. And all of the things that there are to get, just like that the preacher that says, in all of thy getting, get an understanding. I know it's from Proverbs. In all of the getting, in all of the information, and all of the content that we are determined to communicate to you, one of the most important things for you to understand and know is, what is your measure of faith? Sometimes we have to be careful, even as preachers, in our determination to communicate to you, because we don't want to saddle you with our measure. We want you aware of what we believe, and certainly what the word says, but still, one of the most important things for you to know is to know, what is your measure of faith? Are you walking when you could be flying? Is something taking you longer simply because you have placed a measure on your miracle that God does not have? When I look at the gospel, and when I look at the kingdom of God, and even when I look at all of the amazing teachers that have taught us about faith, praise God for them, we have to be careful, because we can over-formulize it. We can make it so much of a formula, and I'm not knocking the formulas. I'm a formula teacher, praise God for it. But even in all of the formula, I have to keep in mind that it's going to be done unto me as I have believed. And I'm constantly taking a look at my own self and saying, Lord, what exactly do I believe it takes for you to open up this door for me and make a way for me? These stories are an excellent example of it. The first healing that happens, what happens, you just saw it, I read it to you, so I read the whole thing. Jairus comes to Jesus and says, Jesus, my daughter's about to die. I need you to come to my house and lay your hands on her so that she will be healed and live. Jesus says, come on, let's go. On the way, the woman with the issue of blood sees Jesus. She says, there goes Jesus. He's got power. If I touch him, I'll be healed. So she presses through the crowd, grabs his cloak, touches him, and is healed. Her measure was to touch him. She could have thought in her mind, if I see him, I'm healed. But that's not what she said. In her mind, she said, if I touch him, I'll be healed. She presses through. She gets there. She touches him. Jesus says, who touched me? The crowd's disciples say, what are you talking about? There's crowds here. What do you mean? He said, no, I don't mean who's around. I mean, who touched me with an expectation? Who touched me with faith? Who touched me believing that I have power to change their situation? Good God, help us. There's so many folk that are jamming in a church, but who came to touch me believing that a door can be opened or a way can be made or a body can be changed or a tumor can shrink? Who touched me and got power out of me? She came and said, oh, my bad. I didn't need you to know my name. I didn't need you to know my situation. That wasn't what was in my mind. I'm so sorry. Please forgive. Now she's scared. She's busted. She's caught. I'm sorry. I just figured if I touched you, I would get what I need. I didn't need you to know me. I just figured if I touched you, I'd be healed. Jesus says, go in faith. Your faith. Go in peace. Your faith has healed you. I want you to notice that Jairus doesn't say, oh, wow, if that's how it works, I'll touch your cloak and my daughter will be healed. It's not what he says. I can almost imagine Jairus there kind of annoyed because he has an appointment for Jesus to come to the house. And here's somebody sidetracking Jesus. I mean, this is a time-sensitive thing. Jairus don't got no cell phone. There's no GPS. They don't know where Jesus is. Who knows how long he's been gone looking for Jesus? Who knows what happened when the doctors or whoever said to him, look, Jairus, you got money, but your money can't save your child. And in his desperation, he said, I got to go find Jesus. A synagogue ruler. This is a religious somebody. This is somebody that probably normally would be in opposition to Jesus, the Messiah. But if you get desperate enough, hey, you need God enough, it'll break you through your feelings and break you through your traditional expressions. I need a witness in here. If you get desperate enough, let somebody get sick enough, hey, you won't care whether or not we sang Blessed Assurance. Let somebody get sick enough, hey, you won't care about me being up here in jeans and a shirt. You need God enough, and it won't matter whether or not we do it religiously enough. You start looking for power. But it's a time-sensitive thing. He finds Jesus and says, my daughter is sick. I don't know how many of you have children, but something happens when your child is sick. Something happens when your baby's not well. And your daughter is a whole nother thing if you're a daddy, because the father and the daughter, that's a whole nother thing. That's a different thing, because your daughter's going to take care of you when you're old. Your boys will put you straight in a home, but your daughters will care for you. So your daughters, that's why I'm so nice to Brandon. I'm probably going to live with him. What I'm saying to him is that I'm saying to you that it's his daughter that is sick. He's out looking for Jesus. He finds him and he thinks, Jesus, I need you in my house. Even though healing has happened through the touch, he needs him at the house. They come and say, don't even bother the master anymore. Your daughter died, man. We've been looking for you. She probably died right after he left. But we've been looking for you. Don't bother the teacher. She's dead. Jesus' response is, no. Your measure was for me to come to your house. Let's meet your measure and see what happened. Oh, God, help us. Goes to the house, girl raised from the dead. The centurion says, listen, I don't deserve for you to come to my house. I'm not a synagogue leader. I'm not somebody that's religious. I'm not somebody that does the right stuff. As a matter of fact, I'm a Roman and I'm a centurion because I got money. And in a Roman rooming house with money, there's all kinds of stuff going on. All kinds of parties and all kinds of debauchery and all kinds of wildness and all kinds of slavery and all kinds of stuff. He says, actually, I don't deserve for you to come to my house. I don't deserve for you to heal. I don't deserve for you to move. I don't even deserve it, but I'm asking you to do it because you're God like that. You're God like that. You're God like that. You're God like that. Out of your own mercy, out of your own goodness, I'm asking you to just speak the word and my servant will be healed. Can I get a witness in it? Just say the word and my servant will be healed. Those are three measures of faith. Jeez, everybody got their miracle, all three different measures. I'd like to take a minute and apply those three measures just to us. If we just look at those three measures, before I say to you what the Holy Ghost really wants me to tell you, and all of this is a part of it, but if we just look at those three measures, they're important measures for us to take stock of. The first miracle really that happened is she touched his clothes and she was healed. So the first measure is to touch him. First measure is to touch him. It's why you're in church. Praise God for all of you that are tuning in live, and even those of you that are tuning in live around the world, even this. But the reason why we come to church is because we need a touch from you. We sang that song this morning, right? If you don't come, we won't move. We're desperate, Lord, for a touch from you. We come because we're trying to touch him, see if he's real. We raise our hands because I'm trying to touch him. Come to worship because I'm trying to touch him. Got up early. Y'all got up early this morning, took a shower, I hope, hallelujah, took a shower, bathed, got dressed up, and came to church because you're trying to touch him. Shouldn't take a whole lot for the worship leader to get you to try to touch him. Not if you need something from him. I need a witness in the building. Shouldn't. Sometimes I come right out and I just stand and I watch to see how much we worship. And praise God, I'm so glad that y'all are complying. If I say raise your hands, you'll raise your hands. Praise God for that. But I would suggest to you that when you get in here, you need to be stretching your hand. You need to be saying, Lord, can I get the hem of your garment? Lord, can I touch your cloak? Because Lord, if I can just touch you, Lord, if I can just praise you, Lord, if I can just pray, God, if I can get in that seat, God, if I can just get near your, Lord, if I can get in this thing, Lord, if I get in there, then there will be healing that will take place in me if I can touch him. Reason why you spent 30, 40 minutes worshiping the Lord today and saying, don't be far from me. You ain't singing to nobody, you're singing to him. Don't be far from me. I'm here waiting for you. My sister April's in town. I said, girl, lead worship. Don't be far from me. God, I'm not moving. Why? Because we understand that there's something that happens when you touch him. As well as I communicate and can't communicate, and praise God for it. But my mentor taught me that you want people to get into the presence of God, because just one moment in his presence is enough to change your situation. I need a witness in here. Just a moment in his presence. I was glad when they said unto me, let's go down to the house of God. But then, as great as it is to touch him, as great as it is to sense him in here, you know what else the other measure is? I need him in my house. I need the same Jesus in here in my house. I need the same anointing in here to follow me as I walk out the door. Follow me through that lobby. And as I walk through the parking lot, when I sit down in my car, I need the same Holy Ghost that was there to be right there and say, yep, I'm still here with you. He said he'd never leave me nor forsake me. So I need the same anointing in my home. We're determined as best we can. And please forgive us. It's a very large church and thousands of people come. And people watching around the world. We're doing our best we can to follow up with you and answer for you and answer your call and come visit you in the hospital. And please be patient with us. And we're so sorry. We're doing the best. Believe me, we're working. And we're doing the best that we can to do it. And it's amazing how much we're determined to do it right. But at the same time, time, beloved, if you really know the Lord for yourself, you can call on Jesus. If there's going to come a time when you won't be able to get through to nobody, hey, you're going to need to know how to call on God for yourself. There's going to be a time when they're going to say something to you and you won't be able to get me or nobody on the phone. Hey, you will need to be able to slip into the bathroom and say, Lord, I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Lord, I need you in my house. God, I need you in this. Lord, I need you before I kill some. Lord, I need you before somebody get popped up in here. That I need him in here. I need him at the house. Then the third measure is, Lord, your word has power. Word power. Lord, you just speak the word over me, and your word over me will have power and dictate over what's going on in my life. Dictate what's going on in my house. Dictate what's going on in the lives that are of the people that are connected to me. God, your word. You've exalted above everything your name and your word. So, Lord, you just say your word, and your word will take power over my situation. Then I'm getting into the word because death and life is in the power of his mouth. Death and life is in the power of his mouth. And what he has said over me shall come to pass. And I just have to be reminded of his word that he spoke to me. Back in the day, we used to sing a song. They said, whose report will you believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord. Oh, I need a witness in the building. We'll believe the report of the Lord. I'm looking for his report. Lord, just, Lord, let's, Lord, I know that they're saying this about me, but Lord, just speak your word and healing will come place. Lord, I know that this is what the word is about from others, but Lord, I believe that your word has precedence and power. That is a measure. That his word has power. Death and life in his mouth. Death and life in your mouth. Death and life in your mouth. That you have what you say. I speak that right now over this room. I speak that over every room that's watching around the world. That you have what you say. I have what I say. I call those things that be not as though they were. I'm not looking just for the faith of Abraham. I'm not just looking for faith in God, but I'm looking for the faith of God. The faith that calls those things that be not as though they were. The faith that calls those things that be not as though they were. The faith that gets my mouth in line with what God has promised me in his word. The faith that gets my mouth in line with a destiny that I'm believing for myself. And I refuse to let the attack of the enemy mentally affect what comes out of my mouth verbally. I will get my mouth together and I will say, I will live and not die. I will get my mouth together and I'll say, I am going to another level. I will get my mouth to say, and I'll say, this is where I am right now, but keep watching me. I'm going to turn a corner and go to another level. Even if I don't feel it, I'll get my mouth to say it. Because my words have power. That's a measure. It's a measure for my words to have power. Can I give you a fourth one, though, and really my point and try to wrap up as best I can? The fourth one is all of these are great. Touching him is great. And Jesus in your house is great. And word power is great. But I've got a fourth one, and I'm calling it limitless faith. Faith without a limit. Where the Lord is saying, this is all wonderful. Praise God for everything in my word. Praise God for everything that Pastor Andy is saying. But I want you to take the limits off of me. And I want you to allow me to move in the way that I want to move. And I want you to let me have my way the way I want to have my way. I want you to be okay with me having my way in the sunshine. I want you to be okay with me having my way in the middle of your storm. I want you to be okay for me having my way in the joy. I also want you to be all right for me to hurt you a little bit and still have my way in your life. Take the limits off of God. Faith without limits. I've learned as much as I went to Rhema to learn faith and study it. I still learned and found out that if I'm not careful, I will limit how God is able to move in my life. And I lost time limiting God. I lost time trying to tell God how he needed to bless me, and he had another way to bless me than what I thought. But I was so stuck on my way of him blessing me that I didn't really get to the place of blessing till I finally gave up and shut up and said, Lord, I surrender. Have your way in my life. Am I talking to anybody in here? Can I tell you my testimony? I don't do it a lot. Can I tell you my testimony? I don't do it a lot. And I got to tell you my testimony. And I know you think it's going to be a church testimony, but it's not a church testimony. My testimony is a having babies testimony. It's amazing. We just finished this Real Love conference, and my wife and I got together. We were all friends, and we got together in a relationship with one another, friends for years, and then got married, and we tried not to have kids, of course, and then after 2-3 years, we're thinking, okay, come on, let's go ahead and have some children. So we go ahead and start trying to have children. Hallelujah. And we were just going on and having them. We had been trying to stop having them, but now we're going to let go. And we're just going to be free and let the seed go where it needs to go. And we're trying to have children, and there were no children that came. So then we went to the doctor. The doctor said, okay, listen, we want you to try, actually chart her ovulations and try to have children. We did that. No babies. So then they said, well, we need to check you out. So they ran tests on us, ran a test on me first, ran a test on her. When they came back, they told us from the test that her tubes were messed up. Both of her tubes were destroyed. They were both blocked and messed up. And she wasn't going to be able to have children in that natural way. Ovaries were great. Sperm was great. Uterus was great. But tubes were messed up. They said it's almost impossible for an egg and a sperm to meet in the tube, then get back into the uterus. It's just not going to happen. You're not going to have children that way. And we found out that we thought we were going to be able to have children through pleasure like everybody else, and found out that for us to reproduce, it was going to take pain. She was going to have to go through needles, and we were going to have to go through pain and waiting and hoping. We were going to have to sit in waiting rooms with people and folk. And for most of my life, I had never been in a situation in which I didn't want to be me. I played basketball and football. I was in the in crowd. I never knew what it was like for somebody to look at you and be like, ooh, I'm glad I'm not you. I don't know if you've ever been in that situation where you're sitting in a waiting room and you're being ministered to by people or helped by or served by people that don't have your situation. It's a very humbling thing. Made me a better minister. But I wasn't happy about it. I wish I had a witness. I wasn't happy about it. It was humbling, but I wasn't happy about it. And so, and the doctors are saying, yeah, but you're great for IVF. My wife was like, great, let's do IVF. My attitude about IVF was that we could do it, but it was a concession. It was not the way that God was going to move on my behalf. I was looking for God to heal her miraculously. I had placed my hands on her, and I was like, in the name of Jesus, tubes line up. And so after that, we gonna make love in faith. And that was one of the best faith walks I ever did in my life. Oh, hallelujah. We was believing God in faith. We were making love in faith, believing. My wife said, babe, I just want to do IVF. I said, all right. We did IVF. First time we did it, we got Kayla. Bang. First time. Boom. Made 3 embryos, put the 3 embryos in her, and we got Kayla. Bam. My attitude was awesome, amazing, great. Now the pressure's off. Now we can believe God. Now we can have babies the way I want to have them, through the miracle that God is going to do in us. And so we got Kayla. So now you can relax. And so now we good because we did IVF. Although, quite honestly, to me at that point, IVF was Ishmael. IVF was the thing I was doing because Just for her to be okay, I would do it as a concession. That was my attitude about IVF. So we did it and we got Kayla. And then after that, we're believing God. So I'm like, all right, girl, we're going to believe God. And we would be believing God, making love in faith. Oh, it was awesome. Making love in faith. And then every month expecting for her to miss her cycle. And then she would bleed. And so then after 6 or 7 or 8 months or a year, she would say, babe, come on. Let's do IVF again. And I said, all right, I'd go in and I'd do it. I was doing it, but I was doing it like, okay, I mean, I'll do it. And we would do it. We always made 3 embryos, always. People do IVF, in vitro fertilization, they'll make 7, 8, 9, 10 embryos. For us, we always only made 3. She got needles, we make 3. We made 3, put them in her, no baby. My response was, see, not supposed to be doing it. It's not God, that's the devil. See, we're not supposed to be doing that. We need to trust God. We trust God again for 6, 7, 8 months, another year, no babies. My wife would say, honey, can we do IVF again? I'd say, all right, reluctantly, shrugging my shoulders. Come on, let's go do IVF. We would do it. We'd make 3 embryos, put them in her, no baby. See, not how we're supposed to do it. Let's believe God. And this cycle went for 5 years. That's why there's 5 years in between my children. Finally, I'm at the end of my rope, and I'm talking to God, and I said to the Lord, Lord, I don't know what is going on. Maybe you just don't even want me to have children. I've got my daughter, and now I've got Alexandra, who I've adopted, but at this point, Lord, I'm looking for a son, and the Lord spoke to me and asked me a question. I don't think I've ever told this story before, really. The Lord asked me a question. He said, Andy, do you want a miracle or do you need a miracle? I said, do I want a miracle or do I need a miracle? I used to put it in the notes and put it on the screen. Do I want a miracle or do I need a miracle? I thought they were the same thing. Don't I want one because I need one? Lord said to me, well, he said, it's almost one of the most clearest moments in which he has spoke to me. And can I just say something really quickly? God don't talk to you like this all the time. I know there are folk who just front and act like God speaks to them every day and tells them what to do. The Lord woke me up this morning and told me have a bowl of Cheerios. First of all, when the Lord really speaks to you, he ain't going to tell you what kind of bowl of cereal to have. He's going to bring some very serious correction to something that's happening in your life. This is one of the most clearest times in which the Lord has spoken to me and which he's saying to me, do you want one or do you need one? I said, well, Lord, I thought I needed one. He said, well, let's think about it. Jesus walked on the water. That's a miracle. But most of the time when he crossed water, he got into a boat and trusted the technology that was there to get across the boat, the water in the boat. I said, wow, Lord, that's true. He said, the word says that Philip ministered to the Ethiopian eunuch, and the word says that Philip was no more, meaning that the Lord picked him up and put him down in another place. That's a miracle. He said, but when you went to Cleveland the other week, you didn't go down to the airport and hold hands with people and forgot to pick you up and miracle you into Cleveland. No, you got on the plane and you trusted me in the technology that was available. He said, why can't you trust me even in the painful process? It was like the lights turned on, and I realized that the problem was me. This time, I went to Sean. I said, babe, guess what? Let's do IVF. She was almost shocked. Like, what? You who look at IVF as if it's the devil want to do it? I'm like, yep, because God has spoken to me, and I've got another perspective about it. She said, okay, let's go ahead and do it. So we go to the doctor. The doctor told us, this is going to be your last time you're able to do it, because this is your 7th time doing it. I don't even tell this story. This is your 7th time doing it. You're not going to be able to do it anymore after that, because it's not good for the woman to do too many cycles of it. 7, this is it. I said, yep, 7. Sounds good to me. I know something's about to happen, because I'm looking at this thing from a whole nother level. We made 3 embryos like we always made 3 embryos. They put them 3 embryos in her. All 3 of them embryos held on. All 3 of those embryos are boys. You can't tell me that ain't God. And what I realized was the one who had the limit on God was me. And the Lord said, Andy, if you could ever just take the limits off of me. Oh, I speak that right now in the name of Jesus. Part of the reason why this is my testimony, beloved, is because, in a sense, this is the picture of my life. I have found out that God does stuff in your life through patterns. Even when I think about my ministry, Chris, when I think about my ministry, I am reproducing spiritual children in a way that I did not thought I was going to do it. I did it through pain. This has happened. Me being in North Carolina happened because of rejection. But thank God for the rejection, or else I would never be where the Lord wants me to be. I wish I had a witness in the building. Folk didn't like me. Folk doubted me. Folk talked about me. Folks questioned my motives. But God had something planned for me. And when I came here to North Carolina and I started World Overcomers, it happened quickly. It was just like with Kayla. I got Kayla right away. Within 5 years, this church had 5,000 people in it. And it was a quick thing. It happened right away. It didn't happen the way I wanted it to happen. And it hurt for it to happen. But it happened right away. And now, no matter what it looks like, I am waiting for my triplet blessing. My God. I know that there is something that God has for me that my eyes haven't seen and my ears haven't heard and my mind hasn't conceived. And I'm all right with pain if it gets me the triplet blessing. Can I speak that over you right now? There's nothing wrong with you going through the process in a painful way. There's nothing wrong with it not going the way you thought it was going to go. As a matter of fact, if you're not careful, you will mess God up and you will stop him from blessing you right in the middle of the mess. I have come to the very clear understanding that God doesn't just make stuff good in the good place. He takes the crooked straight. He takes the rough places and makes them plain. And his glory is revealed in your painful place. But I learned a very valuable lesson, and that is that if you're not careful, you will limit how God will move in your life. And it's made me careful about how I pray. It's made me careful about how I tell God what to do, because there's a very great possibility that God is working something for your good. I speak it. That God is working something out behind the scenes. I speak it. That the Lord is doing something that you can't see, and that the reason why this has happened so that the work of God might be displayed in your life. If you believe that, I want you to put your hands together and bless the Lord. I want to do something different to this morning that we don't normally do, and I know we're over, but whoever's going to get it is going to get it. I believe this word is for somebody, and I'm believing God that he will increase our faith and stretch our faith. If that is you, if you're saying, I need my faith increased, I need the limits to come off of my faith, I want you to come down here. I'm going to pray for you. We're going to join hands together. I'm going to pray for you. I got to, Pastor Annie, I'm going through something, and I need the God to take, I've realized I've got some, come as close to the stage as you can. I realize that I've got some stuff I am limiting. And I want the Lord to give me the gift of faith. The gift of faith. I knew this was going to happen. Just come as close as you can. And all the way down here. I need the gift of faith. All the way down here. I need the gift of faith. Just by me moving. I need the gift of faith. I there's stuff that's going on that's not the way I want it to go. There's things happening in my life that's not the way I want it to happen. There's things taking place around me that's not the way I want it to take place. I'm not happy about what's going on. If you're in the aisle, you're at the altar. It's okay. There's stuff that's going on that I don't want to go on. And I realize that maybe this is not all the devil. Maybe the Lord has allowed this because he's trying to move on my behalf. When I went to Rhema, one of the first things that Brother Hagin talked about was a gift of the Holy Spirit called the gift of faith. The gift of faith. That is a result of receiving the Spirit of God, that God will put faith on you that can't be explained. Help us, Holy Ghost. Faith on you that can't be explained. Faith that stands up against doubt. Faith that makes fear back up. Oh, in the name of Jesus. I know that when you come here, normally almost every week, and even today, I try to give you some kind of lesson or some kind of instruction, some kind of content. I try to do that today. But what I really am believing God for you today is that you'll receive a gift of faith. I want you to close your eyes and bow your head. I want you to lift your hands just a little bit. Don't lift them super high because I don't want you to get tired. I want you to just lift them right in front of you, like in the front, like you're ready to receive. Point your hands towards your face like you're ready to receive something. You're saying, Lord, fill my cup, fill my cup. Lord, fill my cup, fill my cup, fill my cup. Fill it to overflowing, Lord. Fill my cup, fill my cup. Lord, I need faith. I need faith, God. I need faith. I need faith. As your eyes are closed, Lord, fill my cup. Lord, fill my cup. Fill me up and make me whole. Fill my cup, Lord. Fill my cup. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Here's my cup. Fill it up. Make me whole. Fill my cup. Fill my cup. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us. With all that we did this morning, Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us. Break the yoke in us and fill us afresh with yourself. Lord, we came here this morning. We worship, we've praised in a place where people pray, where the elders are praying, where Elder Paul is walking around praying, God, where Pastor Al is walking around praying. Prayer warriors were praying, not just for content, but for anointing. Lord, may your anointing fill this place. Thank you that your anointing is already in this place. Thank you, Lord God, that your spirit is already in this place. Now, Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us. Fill us full of yourself. Fill every room, God, in the name of Jesus. Full of you. Fill us full of yourself. And God, I'm asking you to give us the gift of faith. Limitless faith. God, we want you to know that we're taking the limits off of you. Lord, we want you to know we're taking the limits off of you. We want you to know that you can bless us however you want to bless us. Any way you bless me, I'll be satisfied. But I'm not going to call tragedy what other people call tragedy, because, Lord, maybe this is the way that you're getting me to the blessing. Maybe this is the way you're getting me to the breakthrough. Maybe this is the way that you're getting me to the best thing that ever happened in my life. And so, Lord, I turn my hand to my face and I ask you, God, fill me with your spirit. Fill me with your spirit. Thank you that with your spirit comes gifts. And God, I'm asking you to give this congregation, everyone under the sound of my voice, whether they're watching or in the room, God, give us a faith that shapes the world. Give us a faith, God, that makes people wonder, how do we still believe like that? Give us a faith, God, that opens doors. Give us a faith, God, that drives up sickness. Give us a faith, God, that makes money. Give us a faith, God, that gets us wealth and property. Give us a faith, God, that transforms the lives of our children. Give us faith, God, more faith. More faith. Increase our faith. Take our faith to another level. Anointing rest on us. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us. And thank you, God, that you said that if we, being evil, know how to give good gifts to our children, then how much more will our Heavenly Father give the Spirit to those who ask him? And so, God, we know that we have asked and we receive. We receive this gift of faith. We receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Breathe on us, breath of God. I want everybody to take a really big, deep breath. breathe on us. God, we have breathed in your spirit. We receive your spirit. By faith, we receive it. And we thank you for our miracle and our breakthrough. Thank you for our triplet blessing that is on the way. In the mighty name of Jesus. Now, if you believe you received, I want you to put your hands together and begin to thank God right now. Wait, stop. I'm saying if you believe that you have received, I want you to put your hands together and begin to thank God. There you go. Lord, I thank you. Just tell him, Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you. Thank you that my body is healed. God, I thank you. Thank you that my business is about to turn around. Thank you. Thank you that no weapon formed against me can prosper. Thank you for faith. In the name of Jesus. Reach out and grab somebody's hand. Lord, I want to thank you for our time together this morning. Thank you that no weapon formed against us can prosper. Thank you for every person that was in the room, every person that's under the sound of my voice, every person that watched live stream around the world. Thank you for your anointing that rests on us. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us. Thank you, God, for the service we had today. Thank you for the worship experience. Thank you for the word. Thank you, Lord God, even for the celebration. Thank you, Lord God, for your prayer. Presence that's on us. Thank you for every first-time visitor that was with us. Have your way in us. We're about to greet one another. Grab our stuff and go home. Thank you, God, that the same Holy Ghost that's in here is going to be with us as we go to the house in the name of Jesus. And God, thank you that you're about to make a way for somebody on Tuesday. You're about to make a way for somebody on Thursday. You're about to make a way for us on Monday. Lord, go before us and speak to the owner. And God, we will bless you for what you do. Have your way in us. Kingdom of God, come in us. Will of God be done. In Jesus' name we pray. We all said together, amen. God bless you. Greet somebody in the name of the Lord. Give somebody a holy hug.